Thanks for hitting play again on this episode. If you're loving what we're doing here on the Professional Photographer Podcast, you're just scratching the surface of what PPA has to offer. As a PPA member, you'll get access to benefits that support and protect your business, like equipment insurance, sales and marketing tools, discounts on industry essentials, and even a 24/7 affordable telemedicine program. What? Need help with contracts and copyright protection? We got you. And customizable resources and tools are waiting for you. And that's not all. Members also enjoy Professional Photographer Magazine, delivered monthly, packed with stunning visuals, inspiring stories, and practical tips to keep you growing. Explore all the perks of membership at PPA.com. That's PPA.com. I mean, it's only three letters. You can remember that, right? PPA.com. We want you to join our community. We are here to help you grow and thrive. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. Welcome to the Professional Photographer Podcast, live from Imaging USA in Dallas. I'm your host, Pat Miller. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Creative Play series, which means I get to sit down with the best of the best and talk to them about how they do creative play to inspire you to do it too. And we're going to get some serious inspiration today because we have a major league guest. Lindsay Adler is on the show today. She takes this super seriously and she will inspire you. She'll be on set here in just a moment. Now, our entire getup is sponsored by Sony. And the folks at Sony went all out. We're using their CinemaLine cameras. These things are unbelievable. And everything is fed into this brain center, their app, the monitor and control app, making the recording super simple. So thank you to Sony for setting us up here at Imaging USA. Now, Lindsay Adler, what do you say about Lindsay Adler besides awesome and ready to teach you something? We're gonna talk about creative play and how she sets it up. Because if you're just waiting till you're not busy to do creative play, you're not gonna do it frequently enough. The way that she collaborates with other professionals, the way that she gets her team ready to get stuff that she needs to go out and feed the beast of social media marketing and to get enough of what she's trying to shoot so that she gets hired to shoot it more frequently, you're going to love this episode. So let's get her on set. Lindsay Adler, welcome to the Professional Photographer Podcast. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Now, you say you're a morning person. What does that mean? What is your morning routine like?
So typically what I do is I wake up and nobody judge me.
No judging.
But I cuddle my dog for a minute and then I basically get up, brush my teeth, and then I do 30 minutes of emails. But the reason I do that is I get urgent things done and then I can go be, you know, fresh for the day, and then I'll do some stretching and make myself a tea. And then I figure out what the task for the day is. So I usually have like 2 to 3 major things I'm trying to switch between to get through that day. And that's not counting shoot days. So my team doesn't love that my call times are usually 8 a.m.
Oh, wow.
But if I'm recording and talking, I am really dumb after 3.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start at 8.
Yeah.
So sorry for you then. I'm a morning person.
I can relate with that. And you're fresh in the morning. So we're going to get just the grade A Lindsay this morning, which
hopefully
is great.
Pressure.
No pressure. Come on, please. We're talking creative play, which I know is one of your big things.
It is.
Let's talk about the concept. If someone's not taking the time for creative play, how would you describe it? Why is it so important?
Yeah. Well, so creative play, the big picture for me, is the time you take for yourself to advance your photography when it is not on a client's dime or time. And it can be anything. It's defined by you. But why I tell people that it's so important is the completely true story is when I first started my career in photography, I was in a small town and I photographed some babies. You know, the people needed baby photos and easy enough. But then my portfolio had pictures of babies. So I got more pictures of babies in my portfolio, which means people asked me to shoot more pictures of babies. And and then, you know what I don't like shooting? Babies.
Ah.
I really don't. Also, I remember the first time I never grew up around kids and or anything like that. I remember the first time that they pooped everywhere and I was just like shocked. It was quite a moment. So that has nothing to do with creative play. My point is, when I actually was able to shoot the type of work I actually wanted to be hired for was because I set aside time to do creative play days where I shot sample images of what I wanted to showcase for my talent and say, like, I can do this for you if you hire me. And now I shoot things, like, a lot of times, I'd say, like, a good portion of the work I get hired to do, I would do for fun. Yeah. Like, I would do for free. It's things that I like. Yeah. So that's the idea behind Creative Play Day, is crafting your career instead of having a career that evolves on accident.
Oh, yeah. And you get a chance to explore on the Creative Play Day. I'd like to do more of this, so I'm going to shoot more of this.
Totally.
Okay, so you're conquering the world. We get to see you everywhere, which is awesome.
I try.
How are you finding time in your schedule to do Creative Play?
Yeah, so I treat my Creative Play Days as a marketing day. So it's not that I find time, I make time. It's how do you find time for anything? You choose what your priorities are and you schedule it in. So every single month, I schedule at least one Creative Play Day. And my team knows it's coming. Like, I work with hair, makeup, wardrobe. Like, that's, you know, the work that I do. So I schedule it about a month out. And the reason I treat it as a marketing day is, A, I could be shooting literal what they call, like, spec shoots. I'm shooting an image that's meant to look like, oh, it fits this brand, it fits this company, and then I can pitch it to them. Or I treat it as a marketing day because we all know social media content, we need to feed the beast. And so I could post a couple images basically every day for, endlessly, because I set aside those days and we shoot so much. So either way, I need it. And then last but not least, it's a marketing day because I'm getting new skill set, which they can market to help me get new work. So it's not that I treat it like all business, but it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's play, but it's business play.
But it serves a purpose.
Yeah.
So let's talk about breaking down that marketing beast, because it's not just the final product image that you get on a Creative Play Day.
Sure.
You're telling the story of your setups. You're going way beyond just the final image for the marketing beast.
Sure. So there's different segments of this. So obviously I'm a photo educator. So that's part of it. Is it just, even if it's real or behind the scenes or just little snippets of what my life looks like, but also even in the commercial world of photography, it is suddenly morphed where people really do want to see you on set. They don't just want to see the final images. They want to see what kind of productions you can handle, what your creative process looks like, who you are as a person. And so my Creative Play Days are another way for me to do that. Yeah. So it's actually kind of hits it from all points. It's great.
Yeah, it's like a reality show.
I swear some of the characters that I have on set would be perfect for that. You should see my team. They're amusing. We'll say that.
Yeah, we'll make that happen.
And talented.
Do you hear from people that watch your stuff, oh, the way that you did this thing that you thought was just not a big deal, but they noticed something in your creative play, like the way you lit a subject or the way that you organized the day that they found super unique and took something out of it that you think was just like, that's how I do it, but it was unique to someone who watched?
I think all the time something like that happens because someone's peeking in on something, and everyone's coming from a different perspective. I actually think it will happen sometimes with a commercial job when they're going back through my stuff, just like doing their research, and then they might not be photographers. So they're catching, oh, I loved when you did XYZ. Can you do that for us? Yeah. It all feeds into each other. It's like, it's one giant machine.
Yeah. Let's talk about the day itself, because like you say, you're planning it a month out, you're bringing in other professionals, and you're purposely, you shared with me that you're purposely mashing yourself up with people that challenge you. Can you talk through how you set up your creative day?
1,000%. So I want to hit a couple of things. The first thing I was going to say is that my Creative Play Days, I'm talking from my perspective as a fashion photographer, but I did this when I did portraits. I did this when I did weddings. So I don't want people to think like, oh, this is something that a fashion photographer did. Like, that's how I got out of shooting babies, is I did creative high school senior portraits. And then I marketed that. So first and foremost, that it has evolved into something that are productions. And so I work with a hairstylist, makeup artist, and wardrobe stylist. And what I usually do for a Creative Play Day is I can get specific. We're showing up at 8 and we're there till 6. Like, it is a long full day, and we shoot a minimum of 6 different concepts, like 6 different executions. Honestly, we've probably hit 12 in a day.
Yeah.
But what I do is, no one's getting paid. Like, everybody is working for the images. And so, yeah, you know, they are getting paid in the experience, but that only goes so far. So what I like to do is I say, hairstylist, what are 1 to 2 concepts that you need for your book? Either you want to try out something experimental with hair, or there's this client that you want to capture their attention with this particular style that you do. And then I say the same thing to makeup, the same thing to wardrobe. So what it means is, not all of the creative concepts are on me. And it also means everybody feels like they are being compensated. It's not just like, let's just play. They're getting something out of it they can use. So I usually shoot 2 to 3 different models, 6 to 12 different looks, and we just knock it out. But it's nice because I don't have to get a certain number of looks. Like there's no one, you know, breathing over my shoulder. And so if we go one direction and we're like, this is awesome, let's evolve this, then we'll scrap the rest of the plans for the day and like just follow where that was taking us. And that's where I get some of my favorite images, honestly.
Does it get the vibe of a jam session that when the hairstylist does something, then you get fired up, then they get fired up, and the models get fired up?
Yeah, well, because everybody brings their skill set. And so then, like, even if it's a perfect example how it often happens, wardrobe stylist brings cool stuff. And then I'll be like, oh God, I love this piece. The makeup artist goes, oh, I'm going to build some makeup off of that piece and bring in the color. And then the hairstylist goes, I think this shape, this silhouette is going to be perfect. And then there's something incredible in front of my lens. So again, I'm not like, they did the work for me. They put something amazing in front of me. And then I'm figuring out what photography does to complement rather than overtaking it. And is it a more is more situation, which is true with me a lot, where I'm like, let's do gels, let's do sparkles, let's do smoke. Or is it just about, wow, that amazing sculptural hair, let it speak for itself. And I'm just going to do simple lighting, which does happen sometimes.
I want you to think back to the last time you all creatively jammed. Mm-hmm. Someone brought something, got you fired up, and you got the shot.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had the day, you had a creative play day, you got the shot. How do you wind down after that? Do you celebrate? Do you go home and collapse? What's the afterwards look like for you?
So as I mentioned, I'm a morning person. Yeah. So I am like, as soon as we're done, it's funny because I'll be in the shoot and I'm really hyped.
Yeah.
And then it goes off. Then I am just a zombie in the corner and I'm just melted, slowly eating like a Reese's peanut butter cup and like waiting for people to pack up. Like that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's also true, just as a side note for people, when I do workshops, I'll give like 110%. And then as soon as I'm done teaching, then I just melt in the corner. And yeah, that's just how my brain works. It's on or off for the most part.
We're learning from you on your website. You're showing people how to do this stuff. But sometimes it can feel a little intimidating because, well, I live in Milwaukee. I don't have fashion designers. I don't have someone that I collaborate with consistently for hair and makeup. Talk to that person about how they can take your concept and make it work for them.
Yeah. I actually think one of the things that often challenges me in a good way is when I have boundaries or restrictions put on myself. Sometimes when there's all the choice in the world, then how do you make a decision of which direction to go? I did not start off in New York City. I did not start off with hair, makeup, and wardrobe. I started in a small town in upstate New York, and I still did the same thing. So I would take high school seniors, maybe somebody I already shot, and we would do a play day. And what we would do is I'd go to the florist around the corner and be like, I'd like to collaborate. Let's make a flower wreath around the head. Or I'd go to the local vintage shop, or I'd buy and return from someplace. I've since learned how to drape fabric to look like a dress. And I've collaborated with cosmetology students. I don't mean this to be mean, but whatever, like there are restrictions in small areas, but if you let it stop yourself, you put that restriction.
Yeah.
Like there are great images to be made. Plus your goal probably isn't to make images that look just like mine. If you want the incredible sculptural hair, that's with a hairstylist. Like you do need that, but that doesn't mean that's what you have to shoot. Plus if it's intended for learning, it could be paint with light with your significant other. And like, that's your creative play day. Yeah. And I literally did paint with light with a significant other 12, 13 years ago in a bedroom. And then later on the techniques I learned from that, I used in an editorial, my first editorial in Vogue.
Really?
That's a true story. I just remember
that. Okay, now I need to hear that story. Tell me that story.
I remember I had done paint with light when I was really, really young, 16.
Yeah.
I learned paint with light.
Wow.
And it's because it's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's such a cool concept. But I was painting trees outdoors at night and barns and things like that. And then I remember it was probably 15 years ago. I was like, I want to do this on people. And I'm not saying I'm the one who invented that. There were other people doing it, but I hadn't seen it. And we would just close the curtains in the bedroom. And then I'm painting with lasers and fiber optics and little light, pen lights, things like that. I made a really beautiful editorial right around that time that was shot in my makeup artist's kitchen. I still love those images. But we use and when I say kitchen, I'm in New York. So we're talking this. So I basically shot in between, and then the door in the background was the wall. And I loved those photos. And then years later, I got this amazing designer that this was, a couple years ago, got this amazing designer that agreed to shoot with me. And she did these really structural, amazing pieces. And I was like, they look like a sculpture. I want to paint them. And so that was my first editorial in Vogue is what it was. It was two lights on the background for a white background. They'd fire. And then I'd come in with a small flashlight and I'd paint the subject. And now those images are yes, they're in Vogue, but they're also huge in my studio. Like, yeah. And the lighting wasn't expensive. It was the concept in front of it.
So how long did it take you through playing to learn mm-hmm. how to paint with light? Was that a couple of weeks, couple of months? How long did it take for you to really develop that skill?
So here's the thing. Any skill I'm okay at relatively quickly, but good at could be a very long time, yeah. You know? I would say, honestly, I was decent at it in probably like a year of playing around. And now I'm like, I can do really cool stuff with it. Yeah. But it has nothing to do with my style. It's just something that it excites me. And it's another tool in the toolkit. And one day I'll pick a flashlight. One day I'll pick a laser. One day I'll pick a beauty dish. Like it's having the tools at my disposal. And then I pick the right one for the job. Or honestly, whatever I'm feeling that day yeah. that like gets that jam session going.
Well, and it sets the expectation. That's why I ask. Because if someone has never done a style or a technique before, if they don't get it right the first time or maybe even the second time, that's okay. Like it's going to take a minute to get good at what you're trying to do.
And now I'm better at getting good faster, mm-hmm. like because I have a lot more skill set behind it. Right. But this is something that I talk about often with people. I don't think I took my first good photo that I would be proud of.
Sure.
For I want to say 8 to 10 years of shooting. Like, and I don't mean like shooting once in a while. I mean like shooting, like shooting. I'd say it was probably like the 8 to 10 year mark of where there's something that I was like, this is a strong image. I am proud of this. So yeah. And now we're, you know.
Here we are.
Yeah, much further along.
Yeah. This has been really helpful. Let's talk about learnwithlindsay.com and how you teach people sure. and show them creative play all the time. Can you describe if someone wants to learn more how they can yeah. get plugged into how you're showing them to do it?
Yeah. So Learn with Lindsay is my educational site and there's a ton of tutorials on there. But in particular, there's one section called Learn Plus. What I do is it's creative play days. Like that is what it is. And so every single month, I pick a different topic. So I just filmed the topic on creative filters. And it's like there's education in it for sure, but I do 6 different concepts where I go, okay, we're going to play with this filter. We're going to play with this idea. I've done old Hollywood. I do challenges with other photographers, which is really helpful. So I've had a lot of different guest photographers. And then they inspire me because their process is different from me. So then I learn from them. So I treat these as times where you watch me experiment. I provide what knowledge I have. I challenge you. And then I get to learn. Mm-hmm. It's my creative play days that are recorded and I'm communicating what I'm doing. So yeah it's I love doing it. I really do. I'm sure you can, if you watch one, you can tell.
Well, I can tell by talking to you that this is one of your happy places, which is fantastic. And thank you for sharing everything. Last word on creative play. If someone's not making time for it or not being as serious or intentional as they should be, give them the motivation why they should be taking time to do this.
Yeah. Well, so photography is meant to bring you joy. If it does not bring you joy, then maybe photo wasn't the thing to do. There are plenty of other things that pay better and are less stressful. So if you're doing photography and it's not feeling fulfilling, it's, you know, why is that? And especially if it's the things you're not shooting. Yeah. So I really, and I said this in the beginning, I encourage people to craft their career. And so figure out what it is that brings you joy, what it is. And it doesn't have to be just aesthetically. It could be the types of people that you're working with. And so set aside the times to create those images to then use for marketing. And plus, like those days, they count as business, but they make me happy. Yeah. Like they're a reward to myself. They're a business vacation in my own studio.
Yeah. Lindsay Adler, thanks for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast live from Imaging USA 2025. And a big thanks to Sony for making this look great. Well, it's as great as you can make this look, but we appreciate you being here. So here's what's next. You need to like and subscribe to this podcast feed because we release this show every week where I get a chance to sit down with the leaders in the industry and our point of view is to help you build a better photography business. So like and subscribe. And if you want bonus points, I'll email them to you. You'll get bonus points if you leave a comment on this episode. What did they share on the episode that you want to make sure that you're going to put into your business so you can get further down the road? One other way you can get further down the road, become a member of PPA. If you're watching this and you're not a PPA member, come on, bro. You are missing out of all the good stuff that PPA provides. I'm talking about equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a community of photographers around you that are serious about improving their craft. If you want to know more, go to PPA.com. That's PPA.com. At PPA, you belong here. Thanks again for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Miller. We'll see you right here next time. Talk to you soon.